Now, and we did all of that in our study, but we came to when the disciples came back from their trip to town to get lunch, and they brought it back to him. And in verse 33, chapter 4, you'll recall, "Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat?" And that means, he said, he has eaten, he is satisfied. What, who has brought him what while we've been away? What has he eaten, and where did he get it? Now the Lord Jesus answers that. They don't understand, as all the way Nicodemus didn't understand, etc. And the woman didn't understand, and his disciples don't understand. He has to help them. Therefore, in answer to the question, where did you get your food? Verse 34. Jesus saith unto them, disciples, "My meat," or my food, "is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work." And so here he is speaking to them, and he's going to help them understand. Now, I would help us to be reminded of the fact that we have some flowers in front of us here, and those flowers have been terminated. They've been plucked. Is that what you call them? Plucked. The flowers have been plucked, and they're in the process of dying, and they're going to die. All over. The average little birdie out there of hunting around, flying around, is there, and that little birdie is going to die. Just plain terminate, die. You and I were born physically. And we were born for an earthly existence. We were born for an earthly existence, in order that we might have a heavenly one. We are not like a flower or like an animal. We were made for eternity. When you were born on planet Earth, you are meant to have existence forever. Here is but a space, a step. You have just begun your journey into eternity. Now, having said that, and you want to understand that, we can put your body, blood, brains, bones in the ground and bury it. Dust it came from, dust it is, and dust it'll be. But you and I, all humans, have eternal existence in them. Now, so our Lord, with that in mind, where is life then? And he shares, "My meat," verse 34, "is to do the will of him that sent me." So my unique, wonderful life, my spiritual life, overrides and outweighs and outranks all physical life. My relationship to eternity outweighs all my earthly relationships to what's a restaurant? Wendy's. I knew there was one. Wendy's, water, soda. It outweighs all of that. Wow. There's another relationship, eternal one, a spiritual one. The Lord Jesus is trying to help them understand that that's where life is. All the rest is temporal. You eat, and then you got to eat again, and eat again, and eat again. There's another kind of life that you don't have to do that. There's another kind of feeding on solid food that gives you a wonderful, healthy existence, a wonderful fullness. Now, so, in the light of that, we shared that particular clause, "My meat, food, is to do the will of him that sent me." And we share that together. And remember now, I'll give you some key things you know. Sent. God sent. God the Son. God the Father sent God the Son to indwell his perfect humanity by the Virgin Mary. God sent. The whole business is for people on earth to know what we have here, why we have it. It is because of God, the God who created it. God sent his Son so that we would know not earthly things, heavenly things. So that we would not be locked into angels, we'd be locked into God. God sent his Son. Now, and that relationship, to do the will of him that sent me. Hold your finger here just a moment and go over one place just to review it. Matthew chapter 26. Matthew and chapter 26. And the word will, W-I-L-L, has to do with active purpose, volition, desire, a will, will. The Lord Jesus said, in my perfect humanity, I came to do the will. I choose to do the will of him that sent me. Not my will, but his will. Thus you remember, and you'll see it. It is used, he says it three times. Three. Matthew 26, picking up, please, in verse 39, the Garden of Gethsemane. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup to drink, to pay, to drink the whole consequences of human sin, to pay the penalty, to take the punishment of human sin, the whole cup, not part of it, the whole ball of wax from Adam and Eve to the end of the millennium. Verse 39, saying, O my Father, it is, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. There's your, in my perfect humanity, I choose your will. I'm feeding on it. It's your will outworked, regardless of whether I eat or don't eat, drink or don't drink. I can perform and outwork all of that which you have in mind in the light of forever. Verse 40. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What would ye not watch with me 1 hour? Over verse 41. Watch and pray with me that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went again unto the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. He came and found them asleep again, and their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went again away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words, not my will, but thy will. Three times. Remember in Hebrews 10 we looked at, a body thou hast prepared for me. A body thou hast prepared. And the Virgin Mary, God has prepared a body for me to dwell in that body, to outwork your will. To outwork your will, God. I need a body. A body has been prepared for me. Now, so with that in mind, back over to John chapter 4. And you will note the second part of the feeding. My meat of food is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. And the word to finish the work, anything done, to do something, the product, the object of employment, business, to do something, the production and the product, the doing and the done. The product and the outworking of the accomplishment of the product. The work. And you'll notice it says, the word in front of it, to finish his work. To finish the work. The word finish has to do with the word verb to complete, to perfect, to fulfill, to do something so that nothing is lacking. Everything has been finished, perfect, perfected, reach the goal line. He wants to do, he needs to finish the work. God, you have a wonderful reason why I was born, and you have a wonderful plan, and I want you to finish the reason I'm on planet Earth. You got the idea. That's what he said. That is your will. I feed on that. I must have that. And no, nothing to do with whether it's a famine, flood, lots of food, no food, water, no water, no point. I'm going to finish the will, your work. And that overrides and outweighs all human earthly conditions. Now, having said that, it makes for great satisfaction, great safety, to say the least. Now, over to chapter 5. John chapter 5. John chapter 5, verse 36, the word is used twice. But I have a greater witness than that of John the Baptist. For the works, there's your word, which the Father hath given me to finish them, the same works that I do, they bear witness of me. What is the testimony and the purpose of the works? That the Father has sent me. The works evidence where I come from and whom I represent. Chapter 10, the Gospel of John. And in verse 24. Then came the Jews round about him, 10 and 24, and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly, are you the Messiah? And of course, he has said that several times. 25. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. Verse 30. I and my Father are one. We are one. The works bear witness of my Father. Verse 31. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. And Jesus answered them, Many good works have I showed you from where they come from my Father. For which of those works from my Father do you stone me? Verse 33. The Jews answered him, saying, For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because thou, being a man, makest thyself God. And they knew, and I told you this, you know it many times, the Jewish people who were very, very God conscious from a sense there's only one God, and you can't be idolatrous. There's no idolatry. So they knew when he said something, what he had said. Today, liberals and that, they don't know what he said. They make it all over the place. He made it very clear that he was God. I am the Christ and I am God. And the Jews, unsaved Jews, in unison, knew that. Everyone else, oh, how do you know that? They know it. Now, having said that, skipping down, if I can, to verse 36. Say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and set apart and sent into the world, Thou blasphemest because I said I am the Son of God? If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. I didn't come to represent myself. The works that I do belong to my Father. Verse 38. But if I do, though ye believe not me, if you don't want to believe me, believe the works that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Verse 30, I and my Father are one. I want you to know, verse 25 again, Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. I and my Father are one. I want you to identify correctly who I am. And if you will, you'll come to God. That's what you're going to do. You aren't going to end up with a false prophet. You aren't going to end up with another person claiming to be something. I am for real. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you would, over to John chapter 14. John chapter 14 again. And in John chapter 14, picking up, if I can, in verse 8, remember, Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Now remember, that's in response to verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So Philip said, no one comes to the Father. Well, show us the Father. Verse 9. Jesus answered him, have I been so long time with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? I and my Father are one. Verse 10. Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself. But if we aren't going to pay attention to me and my words, would you please pay attention to works, the miracles, the attesting marvel? No one can do them except God. The end of verse 10. But the Father, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he does the works. He does them. And you have to understand, no one can do what? No one. There's no one anywhere that can do what I do. And it's because it's the Father doing the works. Now, having said that, so His food was to do and honor and know the will of God, to do the work of God. And that had to be accomplished. That was why he was born in Bethlehem of Judea. That's why you were born, to have a wonderful purpose. And so food and famine and countries and wars and rumors of wars and everything, you, if you're going to look to God, then you're going to survive and go and accomplish all of God's good will, because that's what you want. God, do fulfill all the work, all the meaning you have, all the things you want for me and for anything you want to accomplish. Use me as you will, as you wish. Now, over to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. And you would recall, when it comes to works and law and will works, to outwork the word of God, I should say. Now, remember, now, I'm going to start, if I can, in verse 27. Labor not for the meat, food, which perisheth. We're busy trying to get. You know Matthew 6. You have a heavenly Father. You don't have to worry about it. Food, clothes, survival. You aren't supposed to be into that. You're into an eternal life. Exercise life. Your heavenly Father knows what you need. Seek ye what? First the grocery store. Seek ye first Stop and Shop. No. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things are there. Don't lose the emphasis. You're alive. You're meant for eternity. You're meant for God. You're meant to enjoy God. And all of these things are there in all kinds of conditions and cultures all over the world. But if the human being would turn to God wherever they are, they would enter into a wonderful purpose that God has for them. Now, in chapter 6, they wanted to know, labor not for the meat that perisheth, but for that meat, food, which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work? There's your work. Work the works of God. We'd like to be able to do what you do. Now, I'd like to do what you do. Well, verse 29, you know it. Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work, singular, plural, going from plural, verse 28, to singular, verse 29. This is the work of God. What is the singular work of God? God, what can I have for my life? That you believe on him whom he, the Father, hath sent. That's all. That's all. I want you to believe the one he sent. His works are to bear witness to who he is, so you believe. Believe. What can I do? Believe! Now, so what do they do? And thus they said, verse 30, Then they said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou them that we may see and believe? Give us something to look at, a testing miracle, some evidence that we should believe you. Do something. Verse 30. And what dost thou work? What are you working? We want to know, what are you doing? Present tense. Now, so here's God the Father. And God the Father, they said, verse 31, our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, and he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Now, God did a wonderful thing. He attested, and he gave them manna out from heaven for 40 years. For 40 years, we had supply for 40 years of food. Now, that was a miracle ongoing, and we believed. We didn't like it, but we believed. That's a miracle. We have to give credit. It came from God, manna from heaven, angels' food. All right. Verse 32. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. What do you mean, the true bread? Well, no question. For, verse 33, for the bread of God is he, a person, which cometh down. God sent his Son so that you would know the source of life. The bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, oh, boy, we're getting excited. Where are we going to get this? Give us this bread. Give us this life. That's what they want. Verse 35. Jesus said unto them, I, remember that verse 33, the bread is he. Verse 35. Verse 35. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me, and you don't believe. Now, I gave you all kinds of opportunity, and you want to know, you need to believe. You want to have what I have. You want to have what I'm going to give you. But you can't have it unless you believe. You've got to believe that I represent, in my perfect humanity, God in all of his wonderful person. I represent God in a most wonderful way. So now, in the light of that, so it's all about bread, food, life, eternal living. John chapter 6, verse 41. The Jews murmured at him because he said, why would they get upset? Because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. You see, he said, the Father sent me. They said, well, the bread manna came down like that during the night. And now, so you mean you came down. That's right. I came down like the manna from heaven. God sent me for you to know him. All right. And they didn't want to know that. Verse 42. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? They don't understand. And they're murmuring again. Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. Now, what was the problem? People are always murmuring about stuff. Mumbling, murmuring, back and forth. Why don't they just absorb what he said and say, help me, wow. But they don't. They're going to discuss it, think about it. And it isn't reasonable. It isn't practical. Everyone needs to go to McDonald's. You can't do without it. Really. Really. That's how much we know. So we're so caught up earthly. We have no idea. And we're so earthly, we're trying to avoid the mortuary, right? Aren't you all trying to avoid the mortuary? Did I say that all right? A casket. I'm going to get one someday. I'd have up here. I'll put it up here. I'm going to put a big mirror in it. And I want each of you to walk by and take a good look. And I want you never to forget it. One day you're going to be in one of them. You understand that? Oh, not me. Come on. Apart from the Lord's coming, you're going to be in one. Well, you could get a cheapie, you know. Anyway. Now, so here they are. They're murmuring. And so, over if you would please, to pick up the thought and to get it. In verse 47. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that, remember the word you're looking at, I want to have understanding of this, isn't difficult. It's just, we don't want to think about it. You need to believe. The key is to believe. You want to have life, you've got to believe on who I am. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am the bread of life, verse 48. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness, and they're dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. Not die. You mean you can eat this bread, and it's eternal life. You never die. Mm-hmm. 51. I am the bread, living bread. I am the living bread, which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. So what are you going to do? You're going to give your flesh in order that there might be life. That's what I'm going to do. Now, verse 53. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink the blood, you have no life in you. No life. You mean there's a unique relationship? I have food. They have food. I eat food and drink. And I have some resemblance of physical life. But if I don't eat God, how do we eat God? How do we do that and have eternal life? You can't eat God. Or can you? Verse 54. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life. Believe. About what? Life. Two words. Believe, life. Hang on to those words. Over and over again. Look at verse 40, just to deviate for a second. Chapter 6, verse 40. This is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believes on him, may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Believe for life. Over back chapter 6, picking up in verse 55. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. I live by the Father. My food is the will of God and the work of God to finish it. On Calvary's cross, you remember we did last time. One of the last things he did, John 19:30, he cried out in a loud, strong voice, "It is finished!" That's the word. I want to finish the work of him that sent me. It's finished! Wow. Now, so my food is to do the work of him and the will of God. That's life. That's what it's all about. Now, so, verse 56, "He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him." Again, verse 57. Do 56 a little better. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I dwell in him. There's a unique relationship. When you eat food, and you take the food and your back juices, intestinal juices and bacterial and all the stuff down in there, intestinal, all the stuff goes down and makes a big thing, and you eat your McDonald's hamburger and whatever, and it's changed so that it can be assimilated into your body, and your hamburger becomes part of your hands. It feeds your brain. It feeds your blood, your bones. Wow, all its nutrients. Now, having said that, God, here we are, and we're going to look to you, and you're going to go and do a wonderful work in our head and in our heart, and you're going to be our source of life. Now, as food is assimilated into the physical body, we're going to be able to assimilate you. Verse 56. In me and I in you. A unique relationship. If you don't have that relationship to physical food, to your hamburger, you are going to go right through your system, out the door, and if you don't absorb any food, and it just goes through the tubing, you're going to die. You're going to die. If the word and truth just keeps sailing, and it doesn't get assimilated. One of the problems with the believers were they needed milk instead of strong meat. They didn't get past the milk. They had milkitis. It's all right when you start out. But when you're 50 years old and all you have is milk, you'll never make it. God, what have you done? Well, there's a unique relationship. Verse 58. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. Now, they got all upset, didn't they? Now, to eat. Now, what do you know about this eating business? You know in John chapter 1, you don't have to turn there. John 1:14. Telling you, the Word became flesh and the incarnation. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Flesh. Dwelt among us. When you take of the Lord's table, you take, this is my body, which is given for you, and this is my blood. Now, I give it to you. I do it for you. You take a physical body, my flesh, and I take and go to the cross and shed my blood to pay the penalty for your sin. I pay the penalty. I gave my body and my blood. I made it possible for you to benefit, to feed. How so? Because you see, you know in Romans 6, without turning there, when Christ was crucified, where was every human being on the face of the earth? He crucified them, didn't he? He paid for the sin of the world on that cross. He was buried and rose again. death and life. Wow. Romans 6. Reckon yourself baptized, identified into his death. Verse 4. Into his life. When I receive the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, when you do and I do, when we receive him, God, you have made it possible for me to eat your will, to enjoy the product of your finished work, to be able to feed on you. How so? Because you took me to the cross and you took me to the grave and you took me out of the tomb and set me at your own right hand. I am so identified with you and you with me as food, except you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. You have no part of me. I understand, God, that you died, was buried, and you rose again, and that I can receive you as my Savior and all. So when I take of the Lord's table, etc., etc., do this in remembrance of what? Of me, who I am. Do you remember your unique, wonderful relationship to me? I am your life. For me to live is Christ, to die is great advantage. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by looking to the Son of God. And he inspires and exercises my wonderful heart to trust him with all my heart. I feed off him. How so? Over, if you would, Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. And you remember the disciples are going to say, well, where are we going to go if we eliminate you? There is nowhere to go. Who has the words of life but you? The word that I speak unto you, without going back there, John 6, 63. The words that I speak unto you are spirit and life, life, life. The flesh profits nothing. You can eat 55,000 hamburgers. It won't give you any life. All it will do is give you a tummy ache, probably. And it was, you'll excrete it and start all over again, and you're in the process no matter how well you eat. If you eat lentils and green Cheerios and everything, you're going to die. There is no life. There is another kind of life that God saves us for now. So Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12, the end, please. Well, I have to read it. Therefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And then you're going to find the words, for it is God, why should I do it? Because it is God working in you both to will, and to do of his good pleasure. God, you're going to have a unique relationship. That's right, to you in Christ, and all of it is going to produce. You do your part and trust my saving grace and look for life. Eat manna and live physically. Eat the manna from heaven, our Lord Jesus, and live. Live. And like he would say to Mary and Martha and them, I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe this? That's what we wanted to know. He didn't ask them whether they understood. He said, do you believe it? Do you believe it? Do you know that if you believe it, you'll never die? Never die. Never die. Do you believe that? Let's see. Wow. So now, over if you would please, Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3. in Ephesians chapter 3. Now, verse 20. 3 and 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that, and there's your word. What? It works in us. See? I must do the works of him. I must finish him. I want it outworked. That's right. You say, well, it has to outwork. I don't care whether you have 10 hamburgers or no hamburgers. What difference does it make? You're going to have the life. It's God's will. It has nothing to do with what I eat or don't eat. Wow. Now, according to the power that worketh in us, inside of us, a unique, like the food, only our relationship to Jesus Christ, Christ in you, the hope of glory, the wonderful, wonderful relationship you have to Jesus Christ, his bread, he gave his body, and he died and shed his blood so that you could have a unique, personal relationship to him. He is to be your personal Savior and Lord. Wonderfully so. Wow. Now, over to Colossians. Colossians in chapter 1. And would you note, I'm going to go directly, if I can, to verse 19. For it pleased the Father that in him, Christ the Son, should all fullness dwell. So he was perfectly able, in the will of God and the work of God, to be perfectly, didn't need any more food. It was complete, wonderfully complete, satisfied, sufficient. Wow. Now, having said that, here we are, and he did that, he finished the work for us, so that what? Over to chapter 2. Chapter 2 of Colossians. And in chapter 2, may I go, you're familiar with it, verse 9, using the same fullness. For in him, in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, all of God. I came to rep the works, represent my Father, God, in my perfect humanity. Uh-huh. And by the way, when you receive me as your Savior, you receive my fullness. Verse 10. And ye are complete, which is the same word as the word fullness. You are complete in him, in Christ, which is the head of all principality and power. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I am your meat and food. As my Father, John 17:18, as my Father sent me, what? So send I you. Understand? As my Father sent me, so send I you. God, what do I need? You don't. You need to do everything you should do. All the trial and test and trouble, you've got to have to do those things. But your wonderful base that you're locked onto is who I am. And your unique relationship. So that when the disciples going back come with food, the Lord will say, I don't need any. So when all the world comes and they say, you need this and you need that and you've got to do this, and you say, no, I don't. No, I don't. Now, I may need it in the human sense, but I'm not dependent on it. And if I don't have it, I'm still okay, because I'm going to look to you, God. I'm able to be sufficient in your fullness, so that I'm always full. Uh-huh. I'm always full. And so, God, we're going to look to you. Here I am, here and now, until there and then. And I'm going to know. I'm going to look to you and trust you. I'm going to look and have a fullness, fruitfulness, freshness. I'm not going to live off yesterday's meal. Every day, every hour, moment by moment, I'm going to trust you. And moment by moment, you're going to feed the outworking of your goodwill in this body that you purchased on Calvary's cross, so that I can go to work, home, school, heartache, headache, no matter what it is, I'm going to trust you. And God, I'm not going to get hung up on the worldly, short-term, earthly life. I want to understand my relationship to you, and I want that outworked. How you do it, when you do it, whether I live another 10 minutes or another 10 years, God, that's what I want. I want your will. I want you to give me life, capital L-I-F-E, as long as I live. And as long as I live, I want to have life, L-I-F-E, God. I just want to exercise that so that I'm not going to get frustrated. The world is, but you aren't frustrated, God. You are not frustrated in my heart. And I am not going to be frustrated because you aren't frustrated. And God, if you aren't worried, I'm not going to worry. What do you think? God said, my food is to do the will of God and finish the work so that you and I can be totally, totally, wonderfully sufficient, having nothing at all, to be able to be content if we had a full plate or an empty plate, to be content, sufficient, satisfied. Wow. No murmuring. No. No discussion. No debate. No dialogue. Just you. God. Wow. Our Father and God, we look to you to deal with our heads and our hearts. Help us. God, boy, do we need it. I need it, God. So deal with me. Deal with us. You are awesomely, awesomely wonderful. And God, we tend to not pay attention. So God, thank you for caring, thank you for loving, thank you for your personal involvement in every single one of us. God, thank you for caring. You know our home, you know our conditions, you know our health, our wealth, our job, our school. God, and we're going to look to you to help us in the midst of it all so that we are not starving in the midst of our situation, so that, God, we're able to have a wonderful fullness. Otherwise, we'd be bankrupt and starving, trying to find an answer, trying to find solutions. God, thank you very, very much for loving us. Thank you for the forgiveness of sins. Thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you for that.